The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is brought to you by DraftKings, a Casino Queen sportsbook. Use our promo code WMVP. That's WMVP. Must be 21 years or older, Illinois only.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Waddle, we've always had the same thought whenever we turn on a college football game and Brock Huert is on the call. I was like, that guy's damn good.
Yes.
He's really good. He does a show in Seattle. He works for Fox. He's a former NFL player, of course. And he is in tune with the Seahawks.
I want to know how our Bears got on Russ's list, and he's the guy to answer that question, I think.
I think he's been coming on our show for years and years. We haven't had him on in years because the Bears haven't been that good. but we talked to him right now. Brock, how you feeling today? Welcome to the Corona Hotline.
Tommy, Sylvie, doing well. Thank you for the kind words. And yeah, kind of crazy times in Russell Wilson's world out here in Seattle for sure.
Brock, there's some smoke. Is there any fire here?
That's a good question, Tom. There definitely is smoke. There definitely is, and this started really about 13 months ago. If you go back to the Pro Bowl, 13 months ago, after the playoff loss and in disappointment once again and not getting into an NFC Championship game, and Russell at the Pro Bowl said, we need more stars. I don't know if you guys remember that or if that even made waves for you guys out there, but it was like one of the first times Russell flexed a little bit of his voice. His agent does and has in contract negotiations many times, but Russell's really let his agent do the talking, and this is one of the first times that Russell's like, we need more stars. I need more stars around me. We can't just have middle of the road guys. I want more superstars. And then all of a sudden the COVID hit, a lot of that silenced, and you really didn't get much of that this year. And now here he goes again a couple weeks ago, really flexing his control, I think flexing some of his power, Sylvie, or Waddle. So, yeah, I think there is. And, you know, when Adam Schefter and those guys are involved, they don't get involved over nothing.
Right.
So, you know, I think there is a little bit of a fire here. And I don't know if it's the fire of sense of urgency in Russell's belly, or it legitimately is the fire of I'm done with Pete, and this relationship is soured, and I'm willing, you know, to push the issue a little bit.
Those guys are really good at what they do, Pete Carroll. Not just Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll, John Schneider. They're good at what they do, Brock. So do you believe that they could be sort of tired of Russell Wilson as well and just say, look, we're better off starting over with another quarterback?
Be hard pressed to believe that because I don't know who that other quarterback is. I think that is a dilemma in all of this. I know this for a fact. A few years ago, John Schneider, he was right on Russell Wilson, obviously, 10 years ago. And a couple years ago, we had conversations before the draft of how much he loved Mahomes. I mean, he was all over it, as was Andy Reid, obviously, who made the trade. And they weren't at that time going to trade for Russell and trade up and do any of that. But he loved Patrick Mahomes and would have bet absolutely right on him if Russ wasn't around and would have done the same thing Andy did. I don't see that guy in this draft. I don't see that guy in free agency. I don't see the equivalent or anywhere near it with Russell. And here's my biggest challenge in all of this, guys, is to me, Pete has 3 years left. He's 71. I think he has about three on his contract. They're always a little squishy about that, not super clear. But I think he's got a three-year window. And I just, for the life of me, can't imagine Pete saying at this point, man, I got one more shot at it. I got a three-year window, and I'm going to start over with somebody not named Russell Wilson. That's the hurdle in all of this. That is the log on the fire that I can't throw on to really even add more heat and smoke to it. And until someone can tell me who that is or convince me who that is, that Pete feels good and says, yes, we can win a championship here in the next 3 years with this quarterback, not named Russell Wilson, then I don't know how this trade goes down.
Brock, what can they do to meet some of Russ's requirements here? Like, you've developed DK Metcalf, who's been a fabulous player. Tyler Lockett's one of the best receivers in the league that doesn't get the necessary respect. Yes, obviously, you could be better running the ball. There have been moments when the offensive line hasn't given Russ a ton of protection. Although Russ and his style, it will lead to more sacks. What could they do where they could actually kind of mend some of these fences and get Russ back on track where he doesn't want to leave Seattle?
Well, that's one of the things that's most surprising in this, honestly. If you would have told me 3 weeks ago, man, Russ is going to be at the center of the conversation, and I'm going to be chatting with folks on a national level about a possible Russell trade, and Schefter's going to be trading out or tweeting out trade partners, I said, what? He just got his OC that he wanted. I mean, they spent a lot of time. They turned over a lot of stones. They interviewed a lot of different people, guys. And ultimately, they ended on Shane Waldron. And every indication that I had heard from Russ's camp and people around him was Shane was the guy he wanted from the Rams. He loved that system. He's not been able to really beat that system. That's been his nemesis, Aaron Donald, much more than the Rams' offense. But, you know, here they make a change and make a move and add not only Shane Waldron, the coordinator, but also the assistant O-line coach, and they're going to go all in on this system, which Russell wanted to do, which is, again, why this is a bit surprising to me, because, you know, they have a philosophical difference with Schottenheimer. He moves on. It's an exhaustive search for a coordinator, and ultimately they end up with the guy Russell wanted.
Right.
And now, even after that, Russell's like, yeah, I need more help. I need more help, and he does. He needs some more help. They bet wrong last year, guys. Okay, they spent a lot of money on Brandon Shell, B.J. Finney, Boye, other guys that didn't pan out. And I think Russ says, instead of $15 million on pieces, give me Jack Conklin. Like, what are we doing? Give me a Pro Bowl caliber right tackle with my Pro Bowl left tackle, and let's go play. And why are we trying to always do it in volume, trying to do it on the cheap through free agency? Just give me a couple difference makers up front, and let's roll.
Brock Huer joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. So, Brock, we were trying to figure this out yesterday. It reminded us of one of those teen movies. I could go back even far enough, where all three of us are pretty old, where we could talk about Revenge of the Nerds and the nerd getting the sorority girl. It's like someone's flirting with me, and I'm like looking over my shoulder like, she can't be talking to me. I'm a two. Why is she talking to me? What Waddle and I want to know, Brock, is why are the Bears on Russell Wilson's list?
Clap your hands, everybody. Everybody clap your hands. We lambda, 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 and Omega moves. Now we come here on stage tonight. I could do the whole thing.
But it's great. That's awesome.
But no, it really wouldn't be awesome. I don't know why. I got that whole thing memorized. Poindexter on the violin. Lewis and Gilbert will be so joining good. In. We got Booger Presley on the main guitar and a rap by little old me, Lamar. And just when you thought you'd seen it all, out comes the Chicago Bears.
Yes!
Good night, everybody.
I'll drop the mic right there.
So great.
Why Chicago? Well, you know, remember, Russ played in that Big Ten. It was captain there at Wisconsin at that time, set the record for efficiency in a season. He knows the passion of that fan base. He knows the passion of people in Chicago and how much they love their football. And you know, it's a major, major metropolis. And, you know, if he could be the guy to win in Chicago, when you talk about legacy, and legacy is important to Russell, right? He wants to be the greatest to have ever played. He's not going to get there. Tom is set a pace that nobody is ever, I think, going to catch. But in his mind, I think it is a blue blood organization, historical organization. And if he goes there and is the difference maker, you tell me what happens in Chicago if Russell Wilson leads him to a Super Bowl.
He'd be an icon. There's
there
no doubt.
Go. I think that is why he listed them amongst teams he may be interested in.
You know what? I have never met Russ. From a distance, you can do nothing but admire him, the way he carries himself and obviously the way he plays the game. But is he a guy that feels like he hasn't been given enough love based on how much he has accomplished, Brock? And this is maybe this kind of one of those moments. And I don't even say that to be critical of him, because everyone's got an ego. But is he not getting the love that he feels he deserves?
Don't know if it's the love. I think it's the magnitude of the city, of the area of where you are. It was what Sean Alexander, former league MVP, was always frustrated about, that he felt like he was in South Alaska and just did not get the recognition he would have had he been in Chicago or New York or L.A. So I think it's more of the scope and size of the market than it is the love within that market. And, you know, and beyond that, you know, Russell's fascinating. He's been great for talk radio for a decade in Seattle, because from August to January, your perception is spot on. Guy is relentless. I mean, he is a 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. and do whatever it takes every single day of that season. And then from January to August, he's kind of a fascinating study because he wants to be a mogul. He's married to a superstar. He, you know, he wants to have this business and he wants to do that and he wants to be on this stage and he, you know, sees himself as a future president of the United States. I mean, he's just he is a fascinating study that never rests, and it's pretty good fodder for sports talk radio.
Yeah. So let's create some fodder. How does
I already
this
gave
end?
You fodder,
yes.
Man. I already did
you
the whole
sang to us.
That is true. Yeah. You're right. You're right. It's your Beats arguing about Jay Cutler with
yeah,
you.
Oh, hell yes.
But how does this end, Brock? How does this end?
I think it ends once free agency starts to begin and you'll see what the Seahawks' plans are. I think that also is where some of Russ's frustration is. They've got four draft picks. All right, they traded two first rounders and a third for Jamal. They made other moves. They don't have much draft capital to change the program within that way, at least right now on paper. They don't have a ton of cap space. They're kind of a sunk cost with Jamal. You got to pay him now, right? They anteed up with the draft capital, so what dollars they do have are probably going to go to Jamal, maybe Carlos Dunlap. So I think that's where Russ looks at and goes, okay, I mean, I can make some noise here, but what can we actually do and accomplish to continue to build this roster so we can win our division again, one of the most brutal divisions in the NFL, and actually get back to an NFC Championship game or a Super Bowl? So I think that is where, you know, again, some of his frustration lies, why he's gone a bit out of character, certainly for the Seattle fans. You know, I put out a poll a couple of weeks ago and said, you know, kind of grade Russell and what he's doing right now. And most people were like C or D, like, this is not him. This is not his brand. This is not typically his character, but, you know, he wants some movement. He wants some change. The problem is there's not much draft capital and there's very little cap space to do it.
We'd be remiss if we didn't pick your brain on the collegiate guys that will be available at the most important position, the quarterback position. Now, the Bears picked 20th. They'd have to move up, obviously, to get some of the guys. But if they get into the second round, who were some of the guys you saw this year that you were very impressed with or may be on the Bears' radar where they're at?
Gosh, that's going to be the tough thing because all these guys are going to get overdrafted as they do every single year. And I have not studied much Trey Lance out of North Dakota State. He'd be the one that could be probably in that mid-first round range that if you wanted to come up a little bit and you know, possibly find a guy that is uber talented, that treats people incredibly, that's an unselfish leader. And it's physically gifted, but it's going to have absolutely a learning curve, right, to adapt and to grow to in the NFL. But a guy that can move, if that's what Nagy wants to do, you know, as I've watched you guys from afar, I sit there and scratch my head. I'm like, man, what are they?
Yeah.
I mean, what do they want to be? And what system does he really want to run? Does he want to be some tempo? Does he want to move in a quarterback that can really move and create? He would be the intriguing one. Zach Wilson's going to be gone. Fields is going to be gone. Trevor's going to be gone.
Mac Jones.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if Mac Jones, he's probably going to be overdrafted. Physically, there's some limitations there. So the intriguing one, if I'm a Bears fan, if I know exactly what Nagy and crew want to do, it would probably be, you know, digging in on Trey Lance a little bit if indeed he's kind of still sticking around there in the mid-first round.
Brock, great stuff. Really like your work. We appreciate
big
it.
Fans.
And coming in on a Comrex, too.
Yeah.
I mean, come on now.
Top notch.
That's a big baller move right there.
That is.
Did you
that
think
is.
I was going to drop that Revenge of the Nerds rap on a phone?
Thank you,
that's
Brock.
That's awesome. Thanks, Brock.
There you go. Brock Huard. He's awesome. Did you ever think that we'd get him to sing the Revenge of the Nerds competition song there?
No.
That was fantastic.
But he's uber talented, so I'm not surprised he did it.
Yeah, really good stuff on Russell Wilson. If you want to react, 332-3776. We'll also move the show with some other big things going on in our city. There's optimism flowing with the other four teams in town. We'll get to all of it next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
We are just under 47 hours away from our first broadcast of White Sox baseball since 2005, since the year they won the World Series on ESPN 1000. So the first pitch, 2 o'clock Sunday. We're going to talk to Connor McKnight later in the show, catch you up on some Sox talk. Javi Baez spoke today.
Yeah.
We'll play you that. I'm very excited, Waddle. I'm like, this time of year with the warm weather, the snow melting, sort of like we're starting to see maybe a light at the end of the tunnel with the pandemic, with people, more and more people getting vaccinated.
Yeah.
You know, the Bulls are good, or at least getting better.
It's entertaining.
And the Hawks are good.
Like, yeah.
The Hawks are the biggest surprise to me is how well they've done since that awful, awful start. They debuted and they said to us, hello, we're going to suck.
Yeah, and there was no expectation. Like, I mean, you didn't know what Lankanen was going to give you.
No.
You didn't know what Subban was going to give you. I mean, their goaltending has been fantastic. They're young guys. You know, I mean, it's been fun to watch. Like, I don't know where it's headed, but right now I don't care because I'm enjoying watching what I'm watching.
Think about this. People wanted Bowman out, okay? They made the move with McDonough. We thought we were going to get, like, a new guy to run hockey ops. Bowman actually gets promoted. A lot of people don't like Colleton. People want Colleton out. I think Colleton got an extension, didn't he? Or they really like him, at least.
He and Ryan Pace, yeah. No,
and then,
and then
all of a sudden, there's, the Corey Crawford stuff, where, mm-hmm. okay, now they're not going to commit to Crawford. Crawford's going to the East Coast, and then he ends up actually retiring, and it turns out to be a blessing. But then there's that first impression. We always talk about that first impression being so big. They start 0-3, and they're just getting outscored left and right. Listen to this. Since the 0-3 start, this is from Mark Lazarus, they're 11-3-4. In their last 12 games, they are 9-2-1, and they are 6-1 on the road this month.
Look, there's only four teams in the league that have more points than they do. They currently have 26. I get it. They've played 21 games. There are a lot of teams. I think I'm looking here. Edmonton and Vancouver and Ottawa and Detroit are the only teams that have played more games. There are a lot of teams that haven't played as many. There's only four teams that have more points than they do right now.
And then now you get, what, the double dip with Detroit here now.
And they stink.
And they stink. Keep building. Like, it's been the most pleasant surprise to me that every night when the Hawks are on, you can turn them on and enjoy them. I want to play you something from NBC Sports Chicago. This was last night. And, of course, as Cap was hating on Patrick Kane just 24 hours ago, you knew Patrick Kane was going to come out and score for the Blackhawks. Take a listen from NBC Sports.
Carried on by Kane. He cuts into the snap. He scores! Patrick Kane! Career goal 3-9-9. And a big one there. Puts his team in front.
Pretty good.
That's awesome.
He's so good.
And again, the goaltending.
No Doc, no Taves, unproven guys in net, and it's all looking up.
It's fun. Like, I mean, again, where it ends, not sure. I'm enjoying it now. I have the same feeling about the Bulls. Like, we'll find out when their next three games are against more impressive teams. Then when they come back, I believe their schedule is significantly more difficult than it was in the first half.
Right.
I don't know where it's going to end up this year, but I've enjoyed watching them.
I'm going to temper my expectations tonight because the last time I did this to myself as a diehard Bulls fan was when they were on a little bit of a roll going into that Laker game. Remember, it was a Laker Friday night game, and I was getting all chesty, joking around that, hey, the Bulls are back, and we're putting LeBron on notice.
Yeah, right.
And then, like, the next three games, not just by the Lakers, they just got slapped around. They got spanked. And you're like, okay. You know, they're not ready yet. And you hope here, like, I am putting significance on if you win tonight being back at 500 at this point in the year. Look, it's not where I want them to be, but we know where they've been. And where you've been, these last couple of years with Boylan and with not knowing a direction and not developing anybody, to have the chance to be back at 500 for a team that hasn't been at 500 this late in the year in many years, yeah. I think tonight's a really big one. Really big one. Stephen Wheeling, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Waddle. So, how you guys doing today?
Good.
We're good. How are you?
Not bad. Hanging in there. So, I've called before, and I think if you remember me, I am a longtime Seahawks fan living in the Chicago area. And so with this Wilson trade, I mean, it makes nothing but sense for like a city like Chicago, desperate for a quarterback. And I told you in the past about the culture of such good positivity and good culture that Pete Carroll Wilson has had out there for 9 years. My thing is that if you take that to Chicago, is that going to translate well for Wilson? You know, and I've heard people say on the line today that this could be a ploy for Wilson versus Camp Seattle, you know, like a tug-of-war battle. But personally, being realistic, I don't see him leaving Seattle. But if he does, it can't just be a Bears to Seattle trade. I see it's got to be like a potential three-team or four-team trade where Seattle's got to get a quarterback. I'm a Seahawks fan. I know they're a veteran team wanting to win within like 2-3 years. Pete Carroll's not a young buck.
Right.
So I can see maybe like a three-team deal where Seattle possibly gets like a Derek Carr or maybe like a Dak Prescott possibly.
Well, that's why, Steve, I mean, look, and Shefty even said it. I think that while the Bears have been on their list, the likelihood that they would be able to give a comparable deal in return for Russ when compared to other teams, it's not promising. And I thought Brock Huard laid it out perfectly. There's two things here. A, Pete Carroll's 70 years old.
Yeah,
like
right.
he's not in for a rebuild. I don't see Pete. So what I do see Pete Carroll doing is acquiescing to the requests by Russ. And as Brock laid out, the offense coordinator now is going to be the guy that Russ wanted. I think that they will find some ways to give him what he needs in terms of more support on the offensive line. I just find it more likely because of the scenario they're in that he will stay there, but you have to be prepared if, in fact, that's not the case.
Absolutely. That's the one thing that has me down. Like, I'm like, that's why I came fired up today about, hey, get it right for when they eventually do trade him. But like you said, what Brock Huard said about him being 70 and with a cupboard bare with their picks, how are they going to get a quarterback? And if they can't, why would they ever get rid of Russell Wilson unless he just says, I'm not playing for you anymore, and he pushes them even further? That's the only way I see this. But Shefty says that he believes it's a two-way street, and somehow, some way, in the next year or two, he's probably going to get dealt. Kevin in Oak Forest, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Kev.
How you guys doing? Just a real quick question. You know, both of these coaches have been scrutinized within the past year and a half, but who do you have more faith / trust in going forward, Jeremy Colleton or Matt Nagy?
I don't know. I don't know. I still don't buy Colleton. I mean, I guess the proof is in the pudding this year.
Kaner and DeBrinket have told you that, you know, guys are buying in. That right. Certainly works in his favor. Like, I
Nagy
know more
a 12
about
and
Nagy
4
than,
year,
yeah.
though.
Listen, I know more about football than I know about hockey, and so I would probably say, even though it has been a bit disappointing, I would probably still go with Nagy.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, I'd probably go there too, but then, like, maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's better to go with the unknown more so than what we see rinse and repeat with him all the time.
But the good half of the Bears, Nagy doesn't have anything to do with.
That's right.
I know.
The defense.
And
I thought, again,
himself as play caller.
There were so many things that Brock said that were so compelling. Like, we've all sat here and had the same thoughts, and it just goes to show you, it doesn't matter what city you're sitting in. When you look at this Bears team, you ask the question offensively, what are they actually trying to accomplish here?
They still
don't
have
an identity. I know you're trying to get the end zone, but how are you going about doing it?
No identity.
None.
How long's he been here?
This will be 4 years. He's been for 3 years.
Yeah. We still don't know what the hell the identity. I mean,
well, their identity has been, we're going to play really good defense, and offensively, we're going to try to scratch together something and not, you know, not disintegrate.
Yeah. Raul in Logan Square, you're on ESPN 1000. Really quick, Raul, what's on your mind?
What's up, guys? Man, I have zero faith in the Bears organization as a whole. They gave $16 million to Glennon for four games. They threw $20 to Chase, picked up Foles $40 and plus Trubisky's $100 million. Zero trust. And the thing that sucks is my son calls me like, hey, Dad, we're going to have Russell Wilson, man, and Sierra's the one cool with those cool twerking videos on TikTok, man, pretty cool. I'm like, oh, you like that, don't you, boy? But in the back of my head, how do I explain to him the stupidity that's going on in Hallis Hall and tell him and rain on his parade, thinking he's going to have Wilson and Sierra here in Chicago and think that they're going to really make it happen? I mean, I swear I really hate stupid people, dude. It's unacceptable behavior. And I don't blame the robbing the old lady, and I blame her son for letting that happen. They should be held accountable letting Ty Phillips run the show over there. That's unacceptable behavior. That's all I got to say, man.
There's Raul. All right. There's Pace has gone for it, though, before. I mean, he does like the splash.
Yeah.
He likes the splash.
Just sometimes it's just you're just jumping in puddles. That's the splash you get.
Right, I know, right. 312-332-3776. Coming up, we've got Waddle's World. And then later in the show, we'll play some Javi Baez. He spoke about why he had a terrible year last year. We'll get into all of that coming up.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
Nine career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird.
Welcome to Waddle's World. Come inside.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Get weird. Weird. Get weird.
Let's get weird. Waddle's World is brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's bank. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/findus, member FDIC. Got some good weird stories for you later today, too.
Love it.
Tiger Woods has been transferred to Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles, according to Ramona Shelburne. The doctor involved says he was moved from the facility he was at where the surgery was performed for continuing orthopedic care and recovery. So I got to tell you, too, I forgot to tell you this. I had only seen the first episode of the Tiger Woods documentary until two nights ago. I saw the second one. It was an hour and 46 minutes, but I was dialed in. Wow.
And that was the one with more of the controversial stuff, right?
Yeah, like I'm not naive. I kind of, you know, you hear things, other things have been reported, and but wow, that was can't miss television for an hour and 46 minutes for me.
Like a lot of people said, hey, this may not be that good because it doesn't include a sit down with Tiger. They asked, they wanted it, but maybe that actually made it better because they were using all old Tiger interviews.
Yeah.
But it still had plenty of Tiger, and they told the story. Did you feel some sort of sympathy for Rachel Yucatel?
I don't think it was. Because the people came after her, like, ridiculously.
And she was in love with him, right? I mean, she thought it was going to be more. The relationship. Did you not get that?
Yeah,
sense?
I got that impression as well. I mean, people are ruthless. There's no question.
Flew her out to Australia.
Yes. I had forgotten that he basically played in one with a leg that had two fractures in it.
And is that the one that he won?
Yes. I don't know if it was the U.S. Open or if it was the PGA Championship. It was one of them. But... like, I had forgotten about that. And the way that I had not known the details about the separation between him and Stevie, his caddy.
The peaks and the valleys are incredible.
Like Stevie said, one of the things that stayed with me most was I knew our business relationship was being fired as his employee. I didn't realize I was being fired as his friend.
He was shut out, right?
Yeah.
He shut him out. He was his best man at his wedding. And Stevie did a lot of interviewing in that.
Yeah. But it was, I mean, if you're a golf fan, you're a Tiger Woods fan, it was a very compelling two-part series. And I just got done watching the other two.
And he's got, back to the medicals, from what everything I've read, he's got lots more surgeries to go, doesn't he?
Well, I saw one report where they predicted that they may be daily for a while, like to relieve pressure and to make sure that you're combating infection. And like, that's what got Alex Smith was the infection.
Yes.
When you have an open fracture, that's the one thing, that in compartment syndrome where it bleeds internally and all that pressure starts to build in your tissue.
Alex Smith had 10 additional surgeries.
Yeah. Yeah, because in the first few days, I think they thought he was all good, and that they
then
fixed
the infection
it, and then all of a sudden,
oh, that's
he
an
wasn't
older
feeling
story.
Well, right?
Yeah. So according to this one, Alex Smith had 17 total surgeries.
Wow.
But yeah, I remembered a couple of days ago, maybe one of the medical professionals saying there was a chance Tiger was going to have possibly, at the very least, a minor surgery almost on a daily basis to address the issues that he was dealing with. That's unbelievable. Kyrie is happy to, says Kyrie Irving, happy to push the discussion for Kobe Bryant as the logo. Jerry West is the logo now, right?
Yes, yes, yes. And he's never really been comfortable with it. I mean, what are you supposed to say? Yes, the logo should be me.
Yeah.
And they should keep it. I'm good with it. Like, I've heard a lot of people say, no, you can never change the logo. Because, well, my theory is this. Jerry West would be, Kobe would be perfect to take over, especially how we tragically lost him. Mm-hmm. Jerry West was the one who ultimately traded for Kobe Bryant, right? And, like, it's a perfect handoff. Is it not a perfect handoff?
Yeah. If they decide not to do it, okay. But if they did do it, it's one of those things where, like, I'm obviously not an NBA player, but from an outsider looking in, it wouldn't be something that I would revolt against.
I heard the boys of the morning talk about Michael, and I don't think the NBA could afford what Michael would charge them to use the Air Jordan logo. That dude, that's Nike thing.
I don't think Nike would consent to that.
No, it's special over here.
So if you go back to old video games and stuff, that's why he wasn't an NBA Jam, because they didn't want to pay for his rights.
His likeness.
So the whole story is that the logo is of Jerry West's likeness, but it is not Jerry West specifically. So the logo has no specific affiliation that the league needs to owe anything to. So that's why it will never change, because you'll never make it Kobe, because then they'll have to pay Kobe's license fee.
Yeah.
Or whoever it is, Jordan, whoever the case may be. It'll always be the silhouette of
They don't want it to have a financial component to it.
Yep.
That makes sense.
But you know it's Kyrie, right? Kyrie's the one that said that?
Yes.
You know, he's the one in the corner at the party sitting on the beanbag chair that's trying to talk about the flat earth and all these weird things.
He's mad talented, but I don't don't want to get into a deep conversation with him.
Yeah. But I'm usually not that on board with anything Kyrie says. I wouldn't mind it if there wasn't any like tie-ups with logos. Like I think it would be a great way to pay tribute to Kobe. I don't need the same logo. I mean, it's cool.
What if Kobe Bryant's estate said we're not looking for any compensation on this front?
I'm good with it. I'm good with making the change.
Ravens offensive tackle Orlando Brown is exploring trade possibilities. I hope Ryan Pace is picking up the phone and calling the Ravens.
Yeah, that's worth. I mean, this is a kid in his prime, right? He's played 3 years.
3 year starter.
And
Pro Bowler.
So he took over the left tackle position after their left tackle, who they just paid, got hurt.
Was it Ronnie Stanley. Stanley, yes.
Right?
Who was an all-pro.
Yes. And then he's become a guy who said, look how well I did. I'm a left tackle.
The pandemic has changed the NBA draft rules for seniors in a shift from years past. I said shift. The NBA league office will require college seniors to petition for inclusion on the NBA early entry list in order to become draft eligible in 2021. That's because of the pandemic.
Okay.
Not really meaningful to you because you're not going to declare for the NBA draft,
are
you?
No.
Cubs are set to re-sign reliever Ryan Tepera. That's another big story for you.
Yeah, the joke is there. Like, remember he got like an MVP vote last year as a joke?
Yes. And here's some news for you. Disney and the NFL have reached agreement on new rights deal.
Oh, they did? Was this on Monday Night Football?
This has just happened a little bit ago. Disney and the NFL have reached a broad agreement on a new media rights deal that will see ESPN renew Monday Night Football and ABC return to the Super Bowl rotation for the first time since 2006, according to sources. Contracts still have not been signed, but the two sides have smoothed over enough differences that the deal is very close at hand. Sources say Disney is expected to pay an increase of up to 30% from its current deal, which based on an average of $2 billion per year would equate to around $2.6 billion. Yeah, an agreement comes after news leaked last week of a stalemate between the two sides. It also says here Mike Greenberg will host every NFL game and do the play-by-play and the draft analysis as well.
Yeah.
Like, this is for everybody who says, what, the NFL ratings are down. They just got a new deal with Disney for a 30% increase.
So then why is the cap going down?
Because this is for future.
What do you mean, though? I mean,
this is for the future.
I read last
cap
week they were like $1 billion apart. So that's why I was surprised when you just gave me that story.
Yes.
Because it wasn't sounding good there for a
while. There was the first story was that I thought it was the approximation was they had purchased the rights for about $1.8 billion, and the NFL was looking for $3.6 billion, which was double. So here what you have is a difference. It was about $2 billion per year, and now it's going to be $2.6 billion. So the NFL...
But we got to cut the cap by $20 million.
Well, it's a revenue-sharing program. They show you what the revenues are, and you get a certain percentage of them. I don't know what to tell you. What I do have to tell you is when we come back, I have some man who cut some other man's manhood off with some rusty scissors and some other stuff in Florida or Ohio. This hour is brought to you by Xfinity. Get the speed, coverage, and control you need with Xfinity X5.
It's a lot better than the 10 Zoom meetings you've been on today.
This may take a couple of days, maybe more.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000 and listen to Waddle and Sylvie on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
KJ Wright is telling people that he expects Russ Wilson to be a Seahawk for a very long time. KJ is a very accomplished linebacker for the Seahawks.
Isn't he on in the morning? KJ, KJZ?
KJ Wright, very accomplished linebacker for the Seattle Seahawks, says that Russ will be a Seahawk for a long time. Just wanted you to know that.
We'll see. I mean,
Florida, Ohio, this is Florida. Florida man blacked out before using scissors to sever his wife's lover's pee-pee.
I could not believe reading this last night. I sent this to you guys. I was outraged.
A Florida man who allegedly used a pair of scissors to cut off his wife's lover's pee-pee claims he blacked out during the attack. But you think that one's going to work in front of the judge?
No, he even was talking to the person. There's brutal, brutal descriptions of this.
I'm not a lawyer. But I've watched a lot of Law and Order.
Me too.
And there's a thing, at least on Law and Order, where you see and you go into shock and you go crazy. Like you go.
Is that if you're the guy cutting the wiener off or the guy that's having the.
No, I assume
the
assume
other
both
guy's
of them,
going into shock.
Yeah, both
too.
Of them went into shock. Okay. But it's a. it's not premeditated if you walk. Let's say he walked in on the couple, right? Something just goes off.
Okay, so let me describe the scenario for you, okay? Alex Bonilla, who's 51.
Bobby?
No, Alex.
He's still getting paid by the
barged man. Into the victim's home and threatened him with a handgun and a metal pipe. He tied up the man in his bedroom and said, you are not going to die, but you are going to have something to remember this for the rest of your life.
Unbelievable.
The married father of five from El Salvador then pulled down the victim's shorts and said, this is normal. You will not die today. So, who's blacking out there, Adam? I don't think that Mr. Bonilla is not going to...
He's doing play-by-play, basically.
Yeah. Doctors have been unable to reattach the victim's member, and he's been having trouble with urinating and having...
Well,
I would think this is the statement. Okay, can I read this to you?
This is
unbelievable. I know you're going to get mad at me for reading this, but I have to read this to you. Doctors have been unable to reattach the victim's penis, and he's been having trouble with urinating and having sexual intercourse with his wife. No bleep. Like, honestly, why does that have to be included in the article? Like, they've been unable to reattach it, and he's having trouble urinating and using it.
Promo code ESPN.
Yeah, duh.
No, not going to work, Flex. So not going to work.
I don't know what would happen. If
good day. Dear John D.
Love it. He is now John Dillerman.
John Dillerman. Allerhärten stinkste Dillerman. Der næsten ikke noget, han ikke kan med det. Han kan smide det rundt. Han kan blive lidt flot.
I'm singing a cat from a tree.
John Dillerman. Let's head to South Africa for this story where a female shopper in a grocery store took off her thong and wore it as a COVID face mask after the supermarket staff refused to serve her.
Cue up the Kevin Harlan.
You should see the pictures. Like, she's standing in line getting yelled at. She starts to reach for her undergarments. She takes them off and then puts them over her face.
Wait, did she take them off without taking her pants off?
She was in a sundress.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, look.
What do you mean?
I mean, America's got talent, yeah. But I mean, apparently South Africa's got talent, too.
She puts the mask on.
Florida.
South Africa. Oh, okay. South right. Africa, yeah.
Got it.
That's crazy, right?
Charlize Theron?
Here's some good news for you. Live Nation CEO Michael Rapinoe says large-scale U.S. concerts could start in mid-summer with a 75 to 100% capacity.
It's awesome.
Based on conversations with governors in key U.S. states, Live Nation CEO Michael Rapinoe is optimistic that large-scale American concerts are closer than ever to returning.
You guys saw the news in the Tribune yesterday or today about CPD was told to prepare that Lala might take place this summer.
Wow. We're going to jump right back into the pool, huh?
I guess so.
No,
I mean,
we're jumping right back in.
Get the shot and let's go to the concert. Let's go.
Let's follow the science. I'm cool with it. And that's what the science
says.
It's
usually the first week of August.
How about this? Can we figure this out? Can we just maybe set up the Taste of Chicago early? You go through the line, you get your shot, and then you get a...
Had we been more advanced, I was trying to set up a scenario where you could get the vaccine at my house for the Super Bowl party before you got in line for the wings and the rest of the food.
They've set up a center at the United Center and at Waddle's house.
Yeah, I couldn't do it, obviously, for obvious reasons.
But could there be anything more Chicago than us being able to get the vaccine, then get a beef, and then enjoying the rest of the summer?
Right. It's a vaccine with a side of beef.
Yeah. Okay, well, listen, can I get my beef first?
You guys saw today that
my beef first?
The governor and the mayor announced that the United Center is going to be
where you can get your shot.
Yeah. That's what Sylvie was saying.
I just said it 30
Sylvie
seconds
just
ago.
Said that.
Well, Chris told the story that we read yesterday. You guys didn't go after him.
Listen,
Jesus Christ.
Listen, both of what has just transpired is correct. I learned my lesson in the first 15 minutes of the show that I was just going to let it go.
No speaker talk.
I was just going to let it go.
Don't talk to us while the program is going on.
The off-air shows I don't like.
You want to play a game?
Yes.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
A man was arrested for cutting off the member of his wife's lover.
Good day.
Another one?
No, a man was arrested after... It was a joke. It was a callback.
Was this Mr. Bonilla? Yeah.
No. A man was arrested after attempting to rob exactly 3 tacos from a Taco Bell. 36-year-old man was arrested last week after he attempted to rob a Taco Bell of exactly 3 tacos.
Why exactly 3?
Police were on the scene when a man walked into... This probably didn't help him. Police were on the scene when a man walked into a Taco Bell and demanded exactly 3 tacos. He said he had a gun, and then when he found out that police were in the building... He ran away with no tacos.
Wow.
He just said
small demand.
Let's go to Dayton, Ohio for this.
He wanted 3 tacos.
Let's go to Dayton, Ohio for this.
3 tacos.
All right, I'll go Youngstown, Ohio.
I'm on the same page with you guys. College Town, Ohio, somewhere in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Ohio.
Is there a college in Akron?
Yeah.
Yeah,
University of Akron.
The Zips.
Yeah.
Home
that's
the
Zips. How we do it.
Home of the Zips.
Yes.
Home of the Zips.
And tacos.
Clean sweep.
Yes.
Yeah. Akron, Ohio.
Feels so good.
Yeah, it does. Feels especially so you get a W with an Ohio. Yeah. That's a rarity.
It gets good.
All right. In 2 minutes, we will talk to Connor McKnight about the White Sox debut on ESPN 1000. What is Abreu's outlook? And do they have everything they need? We'll talk to the pre- and post-game host of White Sox baseball, Connor McKnight, in 2 short minutes.